General Manager Ryan Poles, it's crunch time. The Bears started training camp with 90 players, and it's his job to get that number down to 53. There's still one preseason game to go. It'll go a long way in determining the right 53. But rosters are always a work in progress. They require a lot of thinking and discussion.
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That was from Hard Knocks last night. And they showed him thinking, which I thought was hysterical. And then he goes in and talks to Ian Cunningham. It was good. Good stuff.
Yeah, it was thinking. Ryan Poles. It was Aristotle-ish.
Yes.
Very much like we would think he would be spending his August. He's got some dilemmas still.
Yes.
With the roster put together. And
the,
I think
the roster's not done.
It's not done.
Yeah.
So let's talk about. We can talk about some of the decisions that were made, but let's start out with what is the latest. And according to our guy Bigsy, the long snapper position is one that is being addressed or still has to be addressed. Patrick Scales, according to Brad Biggs, will have back surgery on Thursday.
Oh, my goodness.
That means that Patrick Scales is likely to be out until, well, indefinitely, but thinks maybe October.
Holy cow.
And that means
back
local product.
Sounds awful.
It does.
Doesn't that just
really
sound
does.
Awful?
Especially for anybody in
anybody,
any sport.
Anybody.
Local product Scott Daly is being considered a top candidate to replace Scales while Scales is on injured reserve. Now, that would mean Scott Daly would be brought into the organization now.
Of course.
It's August 28th.
Yes, it is.
The season starts September 8th.
That's right.
Not a lot of time to get acclimated, but you do want a veteran in that role because you have a rookie holder in Torrey Taylor. You have an operation that needs, you know, some consistency going into the season. Scott Daly, former Domer, local guy, local product, I think Downers Grove South, I believe.
Yes.
And he's somebody who has played with the Dallas Cowboys for a season, most recently with the Detroit Lions. And this would be a move for him to come to his hometown team to help fill a gap where there is a need.
Well, I think two things. Let's hope that he is the answer, if that's the guy they're bringing in. You have no idea. I don't think – I'm trying to remember – what team it was. Was it the New York Giants? I was covering a game in San Francisco. There was a playoff game, and it was the Giants who had changed their long snapper, and basically that cost them the game.
Yes.
They had an injury with the long snapper. Next thing you know, you can't get a field goal going. You can't. The operation is so important, and as we talked to Dave about it, Dave Wanstead, we talked with him yesterday, and Dave, of course, over his career has done many different roles, and he was at one point a special teams coordinator, I believe, in Tampa, and that is a really difficult job. You got to be really good as a coach because you got to be so disciplined. There's so many different parts of it, but that he was concerned about the operation and about the fact that you do have a rookie holder.
Well, he knows.
And you want to, yeah.
He knows how quickly things can become undone.
It is frightening when it's submarines. You know, one of the real powers that you have, which is if you get field position, if you can make sure you're in field goal range. You know, Cairo Santos can kick a 50-yard field goal. A kick 50-yard field goals, but he can't do it if you don't get the snap right and the hold right.
And you're dealing with the new holder.
Yeah.
So we can focus on what the Bears did in keeping Velus Jones. Big news. People might have a thought on that. 312-644-6767. We can talk about the edge rusher and the fact that kept six defensive ends and all of the things about the roster machinations and all of that. But you're right, Molly. Everything can become undone by the one bad snap for a game-winning field goal after Caleb Williams drove your offense down the field during the two-minute drill, and then poof, it's gone because you can't find a snapper.
It's the worst, man.
It's
the worst because It's like, you know, and we should talk to Pat Manley because of all the years that he put in.
Yep.
He's the longest serving Bears player. And he did that role as well as anyone could do it. He was the Patrick Mahomes of long snappers. He really was. And the greatness of that position, all it meant was that everything, the operation worked and it was smooth and there was never a problem. The laces were perfectly, he had everything down to the point where it was never a concern. And that lasted for whatever, 18 years. You are without that for one game and you're going to be like, uh-oh, wait till you see what that looks like if indeed that were to happen. Hopefully that won't happen. They'll get it together.
Absolutely.
But my God, that's
the expectation. And let's face it, it's good to be in a position to be talking about the Bears where you feel good about their defense and those decisions that were made and the way the roster is put together. You feel good about their offense, the best you felt in some time, and you're worried about the long snapper because they might be finally in games that matter. The Bears are beginning a season that will be full of relevance. That's what this preseason has been about. That's what this offseason has been about. The Bears are back. And that's fun because they're one of the it teams, if not the one of the more compelling teams in the league right now. You can say it's because of Hard Knocks, sure. Caleb Williams is a bigger reason why. And those two things are intertwined. But the Bears are about to embark on a season where every Sunday will feel like, or every game will feel like a step towards something bigger. And I think that's fun. This is a fun team to watch.
Yes.
This is a fun team to cover and talk about.
Yes. I think Caleb Williams, Roma Dunze, I think this rookie class has added hope to the way we look at the team. I think that they look like they're going to be competitive. You know, as we said on draft day, it looks like they drafted touchdowns. That has been the hardest thing to come by for the Bears for a very long time, years and years. Now, if you get touchdowns, if you add a couple touchdowns to what you're doing, think about how good the defense can be. Think about how that changes the way people approach you. It's a real dream type situation if indeed you have a starting quarterback who can help you score.
Four of the five rookies that were drafted will play, I don't want to say significant, but will be counted on week one, which is big.
The quarterback couldn't have a bigger role.
Adunze is playing a role.
Adunze has a role. I don't know that he has the biggest of
the wide
receivers.
He's your third wide receiver.
Okay.
Okay, that's fine. Let him work his way up that ladder. Let him be the threat, and he can be effective in isolated situations. He's going to be counted on. So those are the first two.
Yep.
Torrey Taylor is going to help you with field position.
Torrey Taylor has got a huge job, and he's going to be good at it, and he also has to catch the snaps.
And it appears that Austin Booker has played his way into the rotation. Him in that spin move, what he did against the Chiefs, these are the kinds of things you heard Dave Weinstein talk about it yesterday. You can't coach that kind of athleticism.
Spin move, man.
He's natural. It seems like he's an innate rusher. The Bears may have found a guy who, had he stayed in college,
he's so young,
would be a first or second round pick next draft. Now he's ahead of the game. Now he's ahead of schedule. 15 snaps a game, he could be effective.
I mean, listen, those could be the 15 best snaps on defense. Who knows?
We'll
see. And I think Kieran Amagaji is the only other rookie on the team. He's back. He's healthy, ready to play, but not ready to contribute immediately. And it's one of the reasons you got 10 offensive linemen on this team, because you got one of them in Amagaji is not going to be playing week one, and you're not going to be relying on him. He won't be your swing guy. You got another one in Ryan Bates, who looks like he's carrying an injury and won't be able to be your center or your guard. So that's two guys out of the 10.
You've got two guys
probably
who
won't be available.
You can't use immediately.
Right.
So you got two guys that are basically not going to be up on game day.
So that means you really have eight.
And that's one shy.
That's one less than you'd want.
Yeah, you really want to go into it a little more than that, especially with the first week of the season. We don't know, let's face it, what conditioning will be like. What if it's a unseasonably warm Sunday? You want to be prepared for everything on your first game out. And, you know, conditioning for offensive linemen, the game speed, which will intensify and increase, is going to be have an effect on them. You always see it in season openers. So I think that's not ideal. I wonder what Amagaji will do moving forward. He hasn't seen any preseason action.
None.
Now, will his first action come in real games? Maybe if they have blowout situations. You hope that they're in situations where they are ahead of teams by, you know, a couple touchdowns, so he can see some time down the stretch. I don't know what that is, but you'd like to see him develop into a guy you can trust if forced into action. When Larry Borum comes back,
yeah,
what happens to Karan Amagaji? There's a lot of football to be played between now and then.
You know, it's funny. The Bears have had seasons. Like, remember when Ryan Pace was here, where they opened the season and you're like, well, they don't have a wide receiver. How are they gonna be effective if they're missing a position? I don't know that the long snapper thing will fall into that category. Hopefully they can resolve and solve this problem, and there are guys on the street that can compete and get the job done. But it's awful scary when you're down a position. Just again, one that isn't kind of a position you want to think about ever, and you just want it to work, and you don't want to, like, say that snap's too high. There's a problem there.
It probably sounds like we're overreacting to some people.
I think it does.
And we might be overreacting to some people. But I think that the Bears,
this is not good.
The Bears invited this scrutiny when they announced their 53-man roster and there was absent one of the key positions, which is long snapper. They kind of left it vacant.
It's vacant.
It's vacant.
They don't have one
right
now. They
don't have one under contract.
So we can look at the 53 and say, look, if you're adding a guy, if they've already told the fullback that he's going to be on the team and they're keeping his contract in place and all that, that means you're adding two guys.
Can he long snap?
I don't know. I mean, that's a good question.
I mean, Patrick Scales is on the roster. He's under contract, but he's also on injured reserve.
Right.
I don't think they have anybody else on the active roster currently that is a long snapper. Yeah. I don't know how they're going to practice today. Somebody
will
have a private machine or something,
Dave,
right?
Dave told us he ran into Pat Manley at Beverly, and the guy was shooting a 72 or something. I'm telling you, I know for a fact that he can still snap.
He's traveling today?
I know that he can.
He didn't say where he's traveling to.
Okay. Maybe. Probably down to see Jordan. Remember he did that?
I thought maybe.
Where's Duke playing this weekend? He does follow the Dukies. Maybe, I saw him at Duke Notre Dame.
Maybe Duke. I thought maybe it was going to be to a camp. Maybe he's trying out for somebody else.
How long are they going to have six defensive ends?
I like that. I like the idea of running them out there in waves after the quarterback. Yeah. Unless you're going to get smart and they do that and you're going to run at a guy, which teams don't seem to be able to do for some reason, I like the idea of that fresh guy constantly on the opposite side of sweat.
It might be one too many, though, Dusty. You know?
Sure. That's, I mean, all. Especially, you need a long snapper, but I think you'd cut the offensive lineman before you cut the defensive end today anyway.
Who are you cutting?
I don't think I would cut the offensive line.
We already talked about you going into a game with eight right now.
A couple guys shy.
Right?
It's going to be one of those defensive linemen, I think, will end up being spared. And somebody will end up on the practice squad.
Well, no, maybe it's a linebacker. They don't have many of them.
I don't think I'm bold enough to do it two times, but I'll do one, whoever wants it first. I will say that it's an offensive lineman that is moved around today for the long snapper, not a defensive end. Takers?
I'll take it. I mean,
okay. I love free coffee.
Yeah, that's great.
Well, which coffees. One's okay? Well, how about I'll if I lose, I'll get you each a smaller one.
Okay, that's fine. I just think they have more
venti for you.
They have more roster flexibility because the guys that they can stash on the practice squad. Plus, you're protected on your defensive line if you have one fewer rusher than if you had one fewer blocker. I don't feel like you can go into a season and your offensive line as short as the Bears appears.
They're
injured.
You can't have a guy twisting an ankle or, you know, a guy losing his desire to play, whatever it is, and only have a couple of guys that can move in. You know, an offensive line is a unit. They need to play together. You've got to get your group correct. You know, we worry about offensive linemen here. They are by nature guys that are going to work hard, that have character. It's like a you can see offensive linemen. They are the ultimate kind of teammate, usually. And if you get enough of those guys, you don't have to worry as much as maybe you do. But they did keep an extra tight end who can help and who can block.
Most teams keep three tight ends, though.
Yes, but I'm saying they got one who's just a blocking tight end to help the left tackle.
But most teams do that, though, right?
A lot of teams do it.
A lot of teams do that. They have the blocking tight end, they have the catching tight end, they have their hybrid tight end.
Yes,
Cole Kmet can do everything.
Yes.
I think that Everett is a guy that you figure is your pass catcher.
Yes.
And Mercedes Lewis is your glorified tackle.
Mercedes Lewis is like another guy at tackle. Yeah. I don't know that I like Cole Kmet. I don't know that I would say he can do everything. I'm not sure he's a good enough blocker, if anything were. If
I think he's a pretty good player.
I think he's a good player, but I'm just saying I think he also is kind of a pass catcher as opposed to being a blocker. In my opinion,
I think he is a better pass catcher than blocker, but I think his blocking's improved enough to where you trust him, and he's effective enough in the run game to run the ball successfully. He certainly isn't going to be the guy like Mercedes Lewis who is going to be an asset and help your tackles develop or be a guy that you keep in on a third and long because you want to protect the passer. But Cole Kmet has he'd been pretty overlooked this preseason.
Yeah,
I don't think we've talked a lot about him.
No,
he could be a big part of this offense.
They signed him. They gave him some money. They wanted him to be a part of it. And, you know, we're talking about all the different weapons. We haven't talked about the tight end. And every time I mention it, because I like the tight end, you are like, let the quarterback throw down the field. You don't want the tight end to catch a pass. I'm looking for a tight end where you can throw one behind your back and –
and he could find him.
Yeah.
I don't think Cole Kmet is Kelsey like yet. But I do think that he can be an effective weapon for a quarterback who might have to learn how to settle more than he is wanting to make the big play all the time. I think Cole Kmet could be a guy that is Shane Waldron's best ally in terms of giving Caleb Williams and another option besides Keenan Allen and DJ Moore on a third down. Over under 50 catches for Cole Kmet this year.
Oh, I think he's going to get 50. I don't know if I go over or under, but 50 sounds like a good number.
I think if I'd take
really
the over,
solid,
I think that'd be a solid year for him.
I think, if 43 catches would be a great year for him. I'll take 50.
I'll take 50.
That's the over under.
He needs to stay healthy. Stay healthy. Be effective in the run game as a blocker, catch more than 50 passes. That's a good year for Cole Kmet, especially given all the weapons surrounding him.
Doug Kramer's on this roster, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's because he's your backup center because you don't have a backup center because Ryan Bates is injured. So you got to keep that in mind as to why people are. And Bill Murray's on this roster?
Yeah, he is.
That's the guy. They've got.
They like him.
Okay.
And they do like him.
They like him.
They have 7 interior offensive linemen.
You got Bill Murray getting cut?
Bill Murray's the guy who's getting cut for the long snapper.
I don't know about that.
So which defensive end would you cut before Bill Murray?
Here's what I would do. I would take one of those defensive ends and I would make them a practice squad guy, and maybe Daniel Hardy is the odd man.
But that's different than I'm talking about, like off this team.
No,
okay, you're talking a practice squad. Bill Murray could be the practice squad too.
He could be,
right?
Yeah,
they could both be.
And listen, you can manipulate the roster. You can do things like you can go. I mean, you need a backup center going into the game, but then you could if whenever Bates is ready, you could put someone on the practice squad and bring somebody up to play a different position.
It depends if you are going to keep 4 quarterbacks, too.
Oh, my God.
I'm just saying.
I know.
It's a possibility.
Okay. That's fair.
It's a possibility.
It is. No, listen. They're now the bloody
old the Browns. Old the Green Browns Bay kept Packers. 4 quarterbacks.
Thank you.
But they started 5.
Right. Right. I mean, it was interesting to this. I heard this yesterday. Like, they learned their lesson.
Kevin Stefanski's a pretty smart guy.
Yeah, like the Browns, they said the Browns learned their lesson because of last year.
You know who his tight end coach is?
I do. Tommy Reese.
There you go, Dustin.
I know. He's on. He's an up-and-comer.
Celebrate it.
Going to the NFL. He's going to be head coach one day.
Sure. I guarantee you that'll happen.
We'll talk about that when we come back. Right now, be the sixth caller to the Scores Contest line, 312-540-0670. And you can win a pair of tickets. You don't want to miss this. The Bernstein and Holmes live broadcast at Brick House in Wrigley on September 17th. 312-540-0670. Get a seat in the audience. Be the sixth caller now.
Mully and Hall on the Score.
I think we have to start with Taylor Swift. There's a lot of Swifties in Cubs Nation, and there might be some luck coming from those Swifties that have impacted the Cubs. Can you describe the impact of Taylor Swift as of late?
I was gifted a Taylor Swift candle, and we've been lighting that before games in my office. It's clubhouse manager Danny Miller, and we've gone on a nice little run here, so we're going to credit Taylor Swift.
There we go. Swifty Nation, I hope you sink that in.
Wow.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the Score. Wow.
Good for Taylor McGregor.
McGregor does a great job. She has a great rapport with Craig Council.
He's pretty relaxed and open with her. I like that side of Craig Council. I did not see him being a Swifty. Did not envision Craig Council being a Swifty.
You are a Swifty.
I am a Swifty.
You're a lifelong Swifty.
Yes, I've been a Taylor Swift fan since she was Teardrops on My Guitar.
You know,
singing Tim McGraw. All the things that she has on her back in her background, I like. I did not think Craig Council was among the fan.
The Swifties.
Yeah,
among the fan base. I want to give him a friendship bracelet now. Just so my daughter's kind of a Swiftie. My wife loves Taylor Swift. Mm-hmm. We watched the movie of the concert. My daughter got to go to the concert. They had a great time. I got my nephew and his girlfriend they went to Poland or something to see her. I mean, it's crazy. It was cheaper to buy tickets in Poland and fly there. They went to Warsaw than it would be to like pay for tickets here or wherever she was going. It's unbelievable.
Can she be a Cubs prop and a Chiefs fan at the same time?
Well, and she's a Chiefs fan. She's coming back now, right?
I don't know that to be true. Do you know something I don't know?
I think she's got a break. If I'm not mistaken, I think she's dating Travis Kelce. Did you see he bought a racehorse yesterday? Or he's part of a conglomerate that owns a racehorse named after Taylor Swift.
I did not see that.
It's named after Taylor Swift. What's the name of the horse, Dustino? You know, we got to get on this.
I did see the story. I didn't look up the name. I just laughed when I saw the story. Stand by. Yeah,
you guys in your horse racing. I don't know.
Hey.
What's wrong with horse racing? You can bet on it, David. You seem to have the itch today.
And we should.
You
know?
I do have the bug.
FanDuel's big in horse racing.
We should expand our discussion because Mr. David, who is obviously a huge Paul Skeens fan, we know he's wagered on strikeouts.
I did.
Yes.
I bet I did.
But you doubled down.
I did. I buckled on the Paul Skeens bet. I went to my FanDuel account, bet that 8+ strikeouts, and it was a good number.
Liked it.
So I put $20 down. Then, feeling bad about that, when we're talking about Dansby Swanson, he's hit 3 home runs in his last 8 games. Dustin kind of motivated me, nudged me, cajoled me. Peer pressure is a thing. And Dansby Swanson, good number, I think plus 236 to homer today. $5 will get you like 40. So
you bet Dansby Swanson home run.
It was a bigger number than that. I forget what it was now. But I did bet on Dansby
48,
Swanson.
48, I think.
Yeah, I think I could win $48.
Yeah.
So if Dansby Swanson homers and Paul Skeens strikes out 8 or more hitters for the Cubs today, then I'll buy breakfast tomorrow.
Look at this.
Big if.
Wow. The world is getting better by the minute over here.
Swift Delivery, by the way, is the name of the
Swift
horse.
Delivery. Swift Delivery. I knew it.
That's a good horse name.
It's a really nice race.
It's a little wordy.
It's one
a lot of syllables.
Swift Delivery?
Yeah.
Should be one word, right?
Yeah.
No.
Taylor Swift Time. Delivery. Be Taylor Time. That'd be the name of the horse. Taylor Time. Much
Swift
easier.
Delivery a tremendous machine.
But when you get $100 million contract to podcast, can't you just afford your own horse? Why do you have to get in on a horse? I know it's an expensive sport, but
true.
My goodness.
Hey, speaking of money, speaking of dollars, can you believe this? Somebody texted me this, and I had to check it out for myself. If you were so inclined to go to the White Sox game today, and say you wanted to buy
straight doubleheader
a ticket and sit in the stadium club in row G02, I'm at vividseats.com. This was texted to me. $4 will get you $4.
$4 the stadium club?
Stadium club.
And you get food and drink in there?
Today at 4:10. This is the doubleheader today because of yesterday's
show trip.
It's cheaper than me going to the Jewel after work.
It's crazy. It's cheaper than the coffee we buy every morning.
Holy God.
Well, wait a minute.
Mitch buys every morning.
Who's going? Who's in? I'm raising my hand. I'll go.
It's going to rain.
Stadium club?
Stadium club still open in the rain?
I don't know. They may cancel the game after three pitches. Or was
it four
pitches?
Is there booze involved?
$4. That's a dollar for every pitch that Garrett Crochet threw last night.
See, now that would be a fun. Now Brooks is pretty smart. Like that would be a fun promotion today. $4 tickets in honor of the four pitches that Garrett Crochet threw.
Well,
I don't know if Jerry would appreciate that.
I don't think Jerry would appreciate that at all. That's something else. Have tickets been that low before? You're going to see the defending World Series champions if you do that.
Wow.
Texas Rangers, no slouches.
No.
They're no Kansas City Royals, but they are.
Let me ask them. So normally it's difficult to win a doubleheader, right? Mm-hmm. So is this a split?
No.
Okay. Get back on your FanDuel account.
Thank you. I may want to cover. I want to hedge my bets.
I smell a parlay.
Yeah, I need to. I could see that betting on the Rangers to sweep. I wonder what that would pay, because that would be definitely what you would expect. Because Chris Flexen may be pitching for the Sox today, and then a bullpen day. That sounds like a long afternoon. Poor Stoney. Wow. That's going to be a long day for Steve Stone. I feel bad for Steve Stone right now.
Can he get in the stadium club?
Let me ask you one more baseball question.
Please.
Sox related.
Oh, boy.
And it is somewhat far-fetched. And it's not even a question. It's just going to be a statement. The Kansas City Royals lost 106 games last year, correct?
I believe that's accurate.
106 games last year. As we sit here on the morning of August 28,
yep,
they are in first place in the AL Central.
They beat Cleveland last night, right?
And they are tied theoretically, record-wise, but they own the tiebreaker. If the season ended today, as we like to say,
yep.
The Royals would be division champs.
They got a great player.
Bobby Witt Jr.
And unfortunately, he's not going to be an MVP.
No,
even though he's had an MVP season.
This is the year of Aaron Judge.
Yep.
And everyone else is finishing, fighting for second. But how did they do it? What can you learn from it? Is there anything about the Royals' experience that gives you reason to find a glimmer of hope in the White Sox misery?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Unequivocally,
ask
no.
An answer.
I love it. I love what you're saying. If the White Sox, if Luis Robert, turns it around and is better than Bobby Witt Jr., they trade him.
More than likely.
Isn't that true?
More than likely.
We're still in the teardown portion of the program.
Okay.
The White Sox are going to lose. Whatever, not 106. So they're going to lose like 150.
I would caution Chris Getz about that.
And then next year they're going to lose like 106.
I would try to.
That's their idea, getting better.
I would try to stop the teardown.
Okay.
I would say
stop.
Stop tearing down. Stop trading your best players. Now that you've done that, keep Crochet. Keep Luis Robert Jr. Build around them. I don't know that you can do what the Royals have done. I think there's a historic nature to what the Royals have done. It's a huge turnaround. And I don't think the White Sox are capable of doing that. I'm not suggesting that. But it is fascinating that this kind of transformation happened in the White Sox division. So they are the new Kansas City. They are the Kansas City Royals of 2023. I don't know what the White Sox of 2025 are going to be, You're convinced they're going to be a 100-loss team? Maybe they will be.
I mean, I don't think the turnaround is coming because I don't know who's leading it. This is my point. What do they have that makes you feel like they're going
to
win?
I want to go back, and tonight I'll probably do this. I want to look at what the Royals did in the offseason because I remember them. I seem to recall them being pretty active in both free agency and maybe the trade market. But what did they do to put themselves in this position?
Is there a single player, Juan Soto, that you could sign who would ensure that you don't lose 100 games next year? Is there anyone, any position player that could do that for you?
Soto. This is a good year for free agents as well, but I think the prices are going to
be down. Still lose 100 with Soto.
Maybe.
That's my belief.
Yeah, the pitching would have to take some major leaps and bounds.
All right. We've got, it's a Layla Wednesday. We'll be talking to them next. Mully and Haw on the Score.